People don't have time to look at pitch decks. They want to believe that the person that is running the company can actually do this, start to embrace AI, whether you like it or not. We have to get the best facts we can possibly accumulate to make a decision.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Breakout CEO Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Holman, and I'm here today with George Dubeck. George, it's really glad to have you on the show.
Hey, Jeff, it's great to be here. I'm excited. I know that we talked briefly before, and we're really working on this particular program on helping founders and business owners scale up, expand, get more clients, maybe get investment funding, and become more successful.
Exactly. Yeah. This is a part of our monthly series. This month's topic is funding growth. And you've said it pretty succinctly, so I won't repeat it there. But now you're part of, you've done quite a bit of stuff. I'm going to mention just a few things for our audience, but feel free to fill in the gaps, and I'll probably leave some big gaps there. So fill in whatever you like. But you're part of the advisory board for America's Real Deal, a TV show that helps people go on and raise funding. So I'm sure we'll talk about that a little bit. And then you also refer to yourself as the ultimate networker. You've authored 6 books. You've, you know, and you're still, you're just going strong. So did I leave out any of the more important stuff?
No, that's pretty much it. Like I said, I've used all my years of experience to write the books and teach people, I teach people, coach people. I do speaking engagements. I do podcast interviews. Pretty much about 3 aspects of networking. Number 1 is business networking. Mm-hmm. Number 2 is social networking. And number 3 is family networking. There's 3 distinct areas that people can really be more effective in, and most people are not. Most people don't regard networking as a skill, and it is a very important skill.
Well, you've got me curious. I know we want to talk about funding, but and networking is probably part of your funding talking points. But what's the difference between family networking and social networking and business networking?
Well, of course, business networking is my mantra is you can get anything you want by networking. You can get employees, you can get customers, you can get funding, you can get a job, you can get advice, you can get resources. And then going into the social networking, you can get a date and you can even get a mate by networking. So Okay. That's how we kind of lead in from business to social. And then the third one, the family networking, Jeff, is the fact that in today's world, see, I grew up in a world where within 5 or 10 mile radius, you had family members, lots of them, aunts, uncles, cousins, grandparents, nieces, nephews. Well, I live in Florida now. Most of my family scattered all over the country, Indianapolis, Ohio. So what you really have to do in today's world is you have to develop strategies to maintain the family unit and keep on communicating. And I know texting is people text and stuff like that. Like we have group texts with our family. In fact, Sunday night, we just did a family Zoom call at 8 o'clock on Sunday night. The family that's all over the country, we all get together on a Zoom call for 45 minutes and just update everybody. So that's maintaining the connections with your family and also learning how to get support from your family. That's one of the things people lack. They're afraid to ask their own family members for help.
Interesting. Very interesting. That's so that makes sense. I'm glad you explained that. I think a lot of times we think about networking and it's expanding the people I know, whereas family networking is really about nurturing with the people you know, it sounds like. So
yeah. And in fact, have you ever done any multi-level marketing, Jeff?
Boy, not on purpose and not that I know of.
Okay. Well, multi-level marketing, one of the rules of thumb is they tell you, don't go to your family. When you're selling these pills, potions, lotions, don't go to your family to ask them to buy these products because they're going to tell you it's a scam. You're going to waste your time. The products are too expensive and they won't be willing to help you. They'll go to the store and buy junk versus buying products off of you. And that's really sad.
Well, I will say I'm from Utah. Utah, I believe, is one of the capitals, perhaps, of multi-level marketing and door-to-door sales or direct-to-consumer sales. And also, as I understand it, fortunately, I haven't had to be involved in it too much, but as I understand it, we're maybe one of the largest localities of what they refer to as affinity fraud or being duped by the people that you know. So those might go hand in hand. They might not. But yeah, so, interesting topic there. I want to switch over to America's, what was it? America's Real Deal. Tell, is this a new show? Like, I haven't heard of this other than from you.
You said you're in Utah. We actually are filming in Park City, Utah.
Oh, really? Okay,
fantastic. We're going to be doing season two. We've already filmed season one. We're on Roku, Tubi, and we're negotiating with some other social media platforms. And we're also working with Broadcast TV to license one of the major networks. And we're also working with other countries like Saudi Arabia, Dubai, Germany, England, Mexico, to take our platform and do a similar version in these other countries.
Oh, that's fantastic. How does that play into, CEOs that might be listening to this podcast saying to themselves, I'm growing a business, I'm managing every aspect of the business as I grow, or I'm building my team, or I'm, you know, just everything that goes into, you know, zero to one or one to scaling, right? How does a TV show like this fit into their world?
Well, one of the things that's important that helps these companies even after the TV show is over is that we work with them and we polish their presentation, because when they're going to be presenting not only to the investors on the show, a la sharks like Shark Tank, but the viewing audience, Jeff, can also participate through a crowdfunding platform. So not only can the sharks invest, but the people watching the show at $100 a unit can invest through a crowdfunding platform. So in other words, when these companies are presenting, they have to really have their I's dotted, their T's crossed. They have to have a really good presentation to attract investors, both the sharks. We also have a studio audience of accredited investors, and then we have the viewing audience. So a pretty powerful presentation you have to have.
So you guys are bringing people in, people apply to the, I'm sure, to be on the show, and you vet them, and then you probably help walk them through, hey, here's the format, but come in, you need to be prepared to pitch this. Maybe you guys help them, finalize their pitch. Do a lot of people that apply to the show need polishing on their pitch, or they come in pretty polished? What is it you guys see? And do you help with that directly, or is it?
Well, no, not me personally. We have a team of people that do that. Okay. I'm basically just the person that brings the companies to the fold, so to speak. And then our team takes over. We vet them out, make sure they qualify. Then second, they go in front of our investor panel before they go on the TV show. We have investors that actually evaluate, kind of like judge how their presentations are.
Okay.
And then we already script the investors in advance. We already find investors that want to invest in the company, and then we put them on TV to come together.
Oh, okay. So you're essentially doing a screening panel with people, and then what is the format of a TV show? You got me really curious, because I've watched Shark Tank. I'm sure all of us have watched tons and tons of Shark Tank. We're enamored with the idea of going and meeting celebrities who want to put money into our company and, you know, blow it up into something that we could never do by ourselves. Is it the same format for your TV show, or?
If you watch Shark Tank, it's pretty much the same, except the fact that, like I said, the viewing audience can actually invest in the companies, and they also have a QR code where the viewing audience can buy the products and services of the companies right on the QR code, kind of like a hybrid home shopping.
Yeah. You got Shark Tank, QVC or HSN or whatever those stations are, and crowdfunding all going on at once.
Right. Yeah. It's like I said, it's a really exciting show. So if you get a chance, anybody out there watching, just go to americasrealdeal.com and click on the Roku. There's like a little button or image. You click it on, and you don't even have to download Roku. It'll just take you right to Roku, and you can watch.
Okay.
We did season number one. We did six shows, Jeff.
Yeah.
We had 18 companies, and we had about 30 investors that were on the first season. Now we're going to shoot season two coming up in a couple months in Park City, Utah. So any of the viewing audience of your podcast, if you think you qualify, if you have at least $1 million in gross sales within the last year and you're looking for additional funding and you would want the kind of exposure you're going to get on television, you know, contact me at theultimatenetworker.com. That's my website. You can go on there and just fill out a form and request that you'd like to be considered to be on the show.
Okay. Very interesting. I might have to see if I can sneak in the back door and watch an episode while you're recording up there.
It's, well, I'll tell you, we'll talk after the show. I'll tell you who to contact. And how far is Park City, Utah from where you're at?
Oh, it's 45 minutes away.
There you go. So, well, we can arrange that. We'll work it out so you could participate somehow.
Sounds fantastic. Well, so tell me about what are some of the successes that you guys saw from season one?
Most of the companies that come on there, we also try to have products that are, I guess you would call, have curb appeal. You know, like when you're getting ready to have a house for sale.
It's got like a QVC type product.
Like a lot of products that are high tech, software, crypto products. The viewing audience kind of doesn't really get it. You know, we like to have more like home shopping type products.
You know, consumer goods or something like that.
Well, right now in the marketplace, there's a ton of these new beverages. There's a million new drinks, right? From Liquid Death to all kinds of crazy
products. all sorts of sodas and prebiotics and probiotics and
all the energy drinks. Now they have all these flavored alcohols, flavored vodka, flavored rum.
I think non-alcoholic drinks are making a stand right now too in the market.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't understand it. I drink water. I don't know about you. I just drink water. I go in these convenience stores and I see a whole wall of these cans of stuff. I don't know who drinks all that.
Well, somebody's drinking it. It's flying off the shelves apparently. So, okay. So consumer, kind of consumer facing type products where somebody would look at it and say, hey, I think I'd like to buy one of those right now. So they can click on the code on screen, buy it while the pitch is airing. And
yeah, like we have a lot of interesting products like wine emulsifiers where you pour it in this device and it shakes it up and it ages wine. It ages wine up to 10, 15 years. So you don't have to buy expensive wine. You can buy cheap wine, put it in the emulsifier, and it'll, I don't know how it does it, but it ages the
age
wine.
It, huh?
It's like stuff like that. You know, it's like,
we have to bring a sommelier on to explain that to us.
Yeah. You know, and then we also have celebrities on. We have this first season, we had Byron Scott from the Los Angeles Lakers and his wife. Mm-hmm. They were celebrity investors. Remember the Magic Lakers?
Yeah. I mean, that would have been a while ago for me, I think. But and I can't say I watched too many NBA games myself.
Right.
But that's okay.
So we also have celebrity investors that come on. Also, we're going to have a couple of theme shows coming up. We're going to have a show where we have all athletes that have businesses that are looking for additional funding come on. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a real estate show, people that have real estate projects. So we're also going to have certain themes coming up, which is kind of interesting.
Oh, that's great. Do you have any success stories of your show participants, the companies who've come on, who've walked out of there with a deal and it's made a difference
for them? Everybody gets a deal. Like not on Shark Tank. They only invest in certain companies. Some people get turned down. But even that being said, though, Jeff, I don't know if you realize this or not, but a lot of those deals that they shake hands on never get executed.
Yeah, no, I've got a few clients who've been on the show and have made deals. And then you make a deal on the show, but then you have to actually make the deal after the show. It's a second layer for sure.
Well, see, on our show, we make the deal before. So when you come on the show, it's not a pig in a poke. The deal's already done before you get on the show, which makes a big difference. So it's real. And so the other thing about it is I forgot to mention the fourth way to get funding is we put all the companies into a private stock exchange, even if they're not a public company. So after they get exposure on the show, people watching or they can continue to be on streaming can invest in the companies ongoing in a private stock exchange.
What does that mean exactly? I haven't heard of this before.
Well, you don't have to go through all the whatever you have to go through, the legal ramifications, it's very expensive to become a public company. And you have to qualify, you have to have attorneys, you have to go through a lot. Well, a private stock exchange is our own entity within itself. So you can buy and sell the stock within the realm of our platform. So you don't need all this legal stuff involved. It's not like on the NASDAQ, or it's not on anything other than through our network.
So you're talking about this private exchange for these companies. It sounds like you guys have an entity that you formed. People can come in and buy into your entity, and that entity in turn has ownership in the other companies, the portfolio companies that you've invested in. And somehow you track that internally for the people that invest in your company.
Right. It's through a private equity fund. So people can invest in the private equity fund, which includes all the companies, plus it includes our TV show itself. So they're buying into this private equity fund that's all arranged, and it's way less expensive than going to try to be on the actual stock market and be a public company. So again, they have all these really cool ways to get funding. And the number one thing, Jeff, is you get exposure.
Yeah.
Because this is on streaming. So people can watch it even, it's like when you're on broadcast TV, you can only watch it on broadcast TV. When the show's over, it's over. We're streaming continuously. Now, I know the Shark Tank is on YouTube and we're on YouTube too, but the show can be watched over and over again. And so that's another benefit.
Okay. Fascinating. What is the plan? Like, I'm curious what this looks like 5 years from now. Do you guys have a plan for what the show is? I mean, I assume it's growing and it's expanding into markets. But what would you say is the 5-year plan for this show?
Well, it's to go international.
Okay.
Like I said, that's the big thrust, to be an international series of companies, because right now we only do U.S. companies.
Yeah.
But what we want to do is, we've had, like I said, a lot of feelers from especially Dubai. We have England. So we have all these international companies that can take advantage of it also.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. And I know that there are different spinoffs or kind of equivalents of Shark Tank out there, Dragon's Den or something like that, right? Is that?
Yeah, that's an English version. There's also Elevator Pitch. There's Beta Blocks. There's another show where, I don't know if you've seen it. Do you ever watch a show called Cash Cab?
I think I've heard of it. Is that the one where somebody's in a cab and
it all
lights up? Yeah,
you get in a cab and they have like a trivia contest and you win money. Well, now they have an investor cab. Not a cab, but it's you get in a car with some investors and you pitch your deal in a car. I mean, it's getting crazy. They got all kinds of shows.
It almost seems counterintuitive where we're pulling people out of cars with the Waymos and everything to now say, okay, now you're going to pitch in a car. You pitch to the driverless car, I guess, that maybe the car is going to make an investment one of these days.
Well, one of the things that I can recommend, though, to anybody looking for additional funding, whether you're a startup or you're already a revenue producing company, is you got to have a good elevator pitch video. That's one of the things that most of these companies are lacking. That's not necessarily for our TV show, because we're already on TV. You're presenting on television. Mm-hmm. But I'm talking about presenting outside to investors. Right now, today, people don't have time to look at pitch decks, even one pagers. People don't even have time to read one page. But if you have a little 2 to 5 minute video with you and your other principals in your company talking about your company, showing who you are, making people believe that you can do it, that they like you, they like what they see, and you present your product and service, and you present a real quick summary of where you're headed with your product and service. Right now, today, I'd say that's the most powerful thing to present to people, to send to people as bait to get them interested in going further, to look at your pitch deck, to read your one pager, to look at your business projections.
Do you think that's true mostly because you're in the TV industry with this show, or do you think that's true more broadly?
No, I do a lot of startup funding, actual live events down here in South Florida. We do a lot of startup pitch events and stuff like that. And again, I listen to investors all the time. And
yeah,
the main thing today is they want to believe that the person that is running the company, or it's his, you know, whoever created it, the founders, can actually do this of what they're talking about. They can actually be successful with their product, service, or expanding their company.
That makes sense. Well, this is fascinating, George. If you were to think about the audience that we have of growth stage CEOs, often creating new products or brands or, you know, software platforms, like if you looked at that whole group and you looked at the resources and the insights that you have, what would be the most important piece of advice that you'd want to give to that group?
Well, right now, today, as you know, Jeff, we're headed into the AI world. What every CEO has to do today is start to embrace AI, whether you like it or not. Get some credible people together and start using them for your social media marketing. Even you can make some awesome pitch videos using AI. Also, a lot of CEOs are eliminating a lot of their staff, their administrative officers, by using AI agents, which you're probably aware of that too. So, in fact, I'm in the process of writing my next book, How to Thrive and Survive in the New High-Tech AI World, which is how are we going to use that now and interface with it to be successful as a CEO and a business owner.
Yeah, no, I've talked to a lot of people about the AI movement, and a lot. It's interesting because I've expected more people to say, "Hey, trim your staff, cut your costs." And what I think people are ending up doing is adding AI capabilities to you know, increase their productivity. I'm sure there's some staff cutting out there, but there's a lot of productivity enhancements, and it's almost forcing people into this realm of, am I running too fast? Like, I have to run as fast as I can with all of these AI agents and all of the tools available. But, you know, it seems like people are running maybe faster than they know how to control it. And I say that, when I say that, it brings to mind a time I ran my fastest mile. I was on a long run. I'd been doing some distance running, and I was coming down a canyon nearby. It's paved for the last mile, and I had my fastest mile ever. I don't remember. It was around five minute mile, right? But I was going so fast, I thought, if I lose control right here, I am gonna be toast, right? Like, I'm gonna have to go get reconstructive surgery on my face or something, because I just, you know, I felt in control, or I wouldn't have done it, but I felt like it was kind of the edge of my control. And anyway, that picture comes to mind when I think of AI and where we're headed, because I think that we're all pushing the boundaries, and it's going to be really interesting to see where that lands. So,
well, one of the reasons I'm writing the book is because, listen, I'm going to be 80 years old next year. So I lived when we had no technology, hardly. Okay. I went to college with a slide rule. We didn't have a calculator. And back when I started at General Motors as an engineer, we had no print machines. If somebody wanted a copy, they had to have the secretary put carbon paper in the typewriter and type copies. I mean, I'm like a dinosaur, but I'm now using all this technology. So I'm perfect to write a book on how do you interface over a generational progression to use this technology. And it's going so fast now. Okay. Even when the internet came, there was kind of a step-by-step progress, but now AI is just like a tsunami. It's just whoosh.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I'm learning is that we're going to have to reduce our emotional concept of life. I've become less emotional than I used to be. I'm more factual, more logical. I look for facts. I stop making judgments without doing research. And what's happening in our society today is we're emotional beings. So people are making these decisions and judgments and opinions without facts. They're listening to television, or they're looking at social media.
Headlines. Yep.
Yeah. Headlines. And they're not getting to the basic facts of what's going on. And that's maybe the worst thing that's happening right now. And we have to catch up to that, or it's going to destroy us. We can't be, you know, wishy-washy. We have to get the best facts we can possibly accumulate to make a decision.
Yeah. Well, George, I appreciate that. I really appreciate you taking the time. There's probably a dozen other episodes you and I could talk about, especially given the books you've written and the books you're writing and the things you're doing. If somebody wanted to get a hold of you, I know they can get in touch with you at the show. You've given your website. Give your website one more time so that people know how to get in touch
with
you.
Right. Okay. The TV show is americasrealdeal.com. They can go on there and watch the show. And then my website, if you want to get in touch with me and get on the show, apply to be on it, is theultimatenetworker.com. You can go on there, fill out a form, send it to me, say you're interested in being on the show. And also it has my books. I'm on Amazon under George Dubeck. And or you can contact me just to ask anything you want. If you want some coaching, if you want to learn how to become the ultimate networker like me, just get on my
website. Or if somebody wants to know what it was like to do carbon copies back in the day. Yeah. Get the full spectrum here. Well, George, thank you so much for coming on. It's been a pleasure. And for those of you who've joined us today on this episode of The Breakout CEO, we're glad you came by. Take care.
Thanks, Jeff.
Be sure to follow or subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. And if you enjoy the show, a rating or a review goes a long way. Our mission is to promote the stories of breakout CEOs in scaling SaaS, e-commerce, and tech companies to equip peer CEOs with valuable perspectives and confidence. Thanks again for joining us on this episode of The Breakout CEO. I'm Jeff Holman, and I'll see you next time.